sponsored by Fidelity Bank Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, Commonwealth Bank, Burger King, Atlantis Paradise Island, Marlin Marine, the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, and Popeyes.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to the Revolution here on Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney, so good to have you with us. Today, we are going to, in the first hour, talk about a couple of things, particularly some things about Father's Day, fatherhood. And in the second hour, we're going to be speaking with the president of the Bahamas Electrical Workers Union about issues at BPL. All right. Now, I want to start off by saying happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there who actually father their children and are involved in their children's lives. And if you have a shout out that you want to give to your father, then by all means text me at 422-4796, 422-4796. I don't know about you, but I had an incredible father, all right? He wasn't perfect, but he was incredible, and what I know about fatherhood before becoming a father, he taught me, all right? He wasn't a talky-talky person. But I observed him and his ability to be a man, face the world, deal with whatever came his way, is something that will stick with me till the day I die. All right? His ability to continue to provide for his family, even through great adversity, is something that I will never, ever forget or fail to try to live up to. So I always look forward to being a father, right? And the way I was raised, you raised your children in a family, right? You find a woman that you love, and you marry her, and you have children with her, and you raise them together, mother and father, all right? So the best days of my life are April 28th, 2012, which is when I got married, January 14th, 2014, which is when my son was born, and April 27th, 2016, which is when my daughter was born. And nothing else compares. Children are a blessing from God, and they teach you things about yourself and about life that you never knew. And you always want to raise your children in an environment where they feel safe and they feel loved and they feel cared for. And I had that, and I seek to provide that for my children. You also raise your children to try to understand the world that they live in and to be good people in this world. At least that's me, right? And so far, I think I'm doing a good job. My son looks up to me like I'm his hero, right? And most kids look up to their dads like that, right? My son is completely impressed, right, by the things that I do. He's particularly impressed with my job. All right? He thinks I'm incredibly important and incredibly well-connected and can make things happen, right? We were at the Mall at Marathon parking lot. This is when, and I ran into Telus Bethel, right, when he was still Commodore to the Defense Force. And I said, I told my son, I said, this is Commodore to the Defense Force, right? And he was just in awe, right? And the second he came home, he went to my wife and goes, did you know that Daddy knows the head of the Defense Force? Another time I had to call the commissioner of police to help me out with something. And I told my wife, I said, well, I called Paul Roll and he's going to straighten it out, you know? And he asked who Paul Roll was because he overheard me. I said, Paul Roll's the commissioner of police. And he said, you police? I said, not only do I know the commissioner of police, but we are super tight, right? So he's very impressed. He's raised around us, so he watches the news all the time, right? And so he knows who a lot of these public figures are now as he's gotten older. So one day we were downtown, or he was downtown with my wife, and he was like, this was post-COVID, pre-COVID, and like early last year, and he was like, Daddy, we saw Marlon Johnson today. And he was so impressed, although I don't rate Marlon. No, I'm kidding. I'm cool with Marlon Johnson. You know, and Jeff Lloyd had met my kids before, but you know, before three, hardly anything sticks, you know, before 3-4 years old. And so Jeff came to hail me a few months ago, and I told the kids, I said, come on, I want you to meet someone, you know, and I said, this is the Minister of Education. And my daughter was like, but my son was like, really? You know the Minister of Education? I said, of course. Long time, right? And so I try to raise them with a respect for these institutions and positions in the country. You know what I mean? Even if I don't particularly rate certain people, right? Like the Patricia Minnis went to Queens College, was it last year or year before? And my son was just came home. Oh, the wife of the prime minister was there. You know? And then one time my wife was telling me how the prime minister was telling her, was asking her if she's still married to me, all this other stuff. And he's like, you know the prime minister? I was like, yes, I do, you know. Even if you don't respect the people, you should respect the institution insofar as its role in our country. Do I want to raise Government House because of all it represents? Yes, but I still have respect for the fact that we have a governor general. All right? Being in news, we also watch the House of Assembly, right? And my son has, since the pandemic and since he's grown older, become more interested in what I do, all right? So even if he feigns interest, he just wants to interact and, you know, talk about it. So he will sit there and watch, but he never before asked me about it. So yesterday I'm sitting and I'm watching the House of Assembly in my bedroom, and my son comes in, and he's a really good reader, you know? So he's like me. He picks up things very quickly, very easily, yeah? And which can work against you, because sometimes that can cause you to not be disciplined and not study, et cetera. But he's Desmond Bannister speaking, and he asked me, Daddy, what's Yamacraw? And I said, oh, okay. I said, because he saw Ellsworth Johnson sitting behind Desmond Bannister, and he read the plate, you know? I said, Yamacraw is a constituency. He goes, well, what's a constituency? I go, a constituency is an area where a certain number of people live, and they draw lines around that area, and all the people in that area who are Bahamian, who are grown, get to decide who they send to the House of Assembly. So I said, all the people in Yamacraw, which is on the eastern end of the island, they decided, the majority of them, that they would send Eldridge Johnson to the House of Assembly. And that's how we populate the House of Assembly. That's how we get people in the House of Assembly. I said, and whichever political party has the most members in the House of Assembly, that determines who is the prime minister. And the prime minister determines who becomes a minister in the government. So Mr. Lloyd, who you saw not too long ago, he was elected and by the people of South Beach, sent to the parliament. The prime minister chose him to be a minister. And that's how the House of Assembly works, in short. Desmond Bannister's speaking, and he starts talking about Star Academy, which is a project the PLP had during the last administration, in which they squandered millions of dollars. All right. I'm not sure the exact figure. They throw 30 million around a lot, but no one's detailed that for me. In an effort, which was valiant, but they still squandered it because nothing came of it, to have a school for children who had trouble adjusting in the regular school system, problematic kids, right? And it was built on the old site of Bahamas Academy, which is owned by the Seventh-day Adventist Convention, right? And he's trying to use Star Academy and to make a point that they wasted money and he's tying it. By the way, I don't know how Desmond Bannister didn't violate the sub judice rule with the Shantytown case yesterday, but okay. He's trying to make a point that their actions at the Seventh-day Adventist property were akin to the people who build homes on shantytowns, which is nonsense, right? Now, it says privilege. No, your parliamentary privilege don't allow you to. I think Hans Mutri is wrong. Your parliamentary privilege don't allow you to interfere in court matters by discussing the facts outside of court. Now, it didn't make any sense what he was saying, because clearly the Seventh-day Adventist people knew the government was building. They had a press conference. They sent out, releases about it and everything like this. And the FM just didn't proceed with the project. I guess they didn't think it was cost beneficial or whatever. And Brave Davis gets up to argue, and they're still going back and forth about it. And they start getting, loud, because they're usually loud. Like, and you have a section in the back, like Ellsworth Johnson, Darren Henfield, a couple of others, Ruben Ramey, who just don't shut up, right? And it's been disturbing for a while. And then Brave Davis gets ticked off and gets up and swears right in the middle of Parliament, right? My son's watching this, by the way. All right? And some things are for adults. Some language is for adults. Some entertainment is for adults, etc. All right. And all hell breaks loose in the House of Assembly. And they're on their feet and screaming at each other. And Brave Davis is trying to talk and they're screaming. And the people on both sides are just hollering and blah, 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 blah. And then Gladys Hannah-Martin gets on. They're screaming and hollering and talking. And it's just a total embarrassment. My son is watching this, and my son says to me, Daddy, why are they acting like that? And it wasn't everybody. Jeff, thank God, wasn't participating. It wasn't everybody, but it was most of them. Sorry if I left any of your names out. I don't care. I hope someone's recording this for a WhatsApp voice note that you guys, or the videos you like to make of my voices, so that you can hear what I'm telling you. He says, Daddy, why are they acting like that? And I said, son, those people in there who are acting that way are doing it because they think this is all a joke. Those people in there are acting that way because they think the taxpayers who pay their salaries and the people in their constituency, remember I told you what a constituency is? They think that they're a joke. Those people in there are acting like that because they think that setting a good example for the children of this nation is a joke. They think you're a joke. I said, so when you look around, my son, and you ask me about why certain things are the way they are, why a half a Kemp Road looks like a bomb hit it, when you ask me why these people are around here begging and vandalizing, when you ask me why do some kids go to private school and some kids go to public school and why don't you want me to go to public school, when you ask me why, when you see the news, there's this level of disorder in our society, it is because those people who are acting this way in the House of Assembly in a manner in which you would not be allowed to act in your second grade class don't take it seriously. That is why things are the way they are. We deserve better. House and Mutri, after an extended period of time, finally had enough. And of course, after that, bust out Funky Nassau on his cell phone, because what's a barroom without a disco? People are watching you. You're supposed to set an example. I don't expect anybody else to teach my children how to be good people. But you're undoing what other people are trying to do to raise people who act like sense. Do better. Stop using the House of Assembly as if it's some parlor. Be serious about our business. You know when you go in like the food store and you see like three cashiers trying to talk to each other while they're ringing up your stuff? You know what I do? I go, listen, focus on my business. Deal with your personal garbage after you're done with my business. Go to the House of Assembly and focus on our business. Stop this. Get your act together. I messaged one MP. I said, my son is watching you guys. And I can't explain this behavior to him. And the MP messaged me back. He said, I'm not a part of that. And I am ashamed of what is happening. I messaged a friend. I was so disturbed. I messaged a friend. And I told him, I said, my son's, you know, so enamored by these politicians. It's so disappointing what they did today. And my friend said, you failed your son by letting him think that these are serious people who are managing the country's affairs. And something about fatherhood was revealed to me yesterday in that you are not going to be able to protect your children from the realities of the world forever. And you are going to have to try to navigate raising them with a sense of respect for the society and those who are running it and those in authority. But you're also going to have to, sooner than you wanted to, confront your children with the harsh reality that these people are not serious about this. Tough, sobering, I'd say, not tough, sobering to learn that. All right? Now, you can message me with your Father's Day greetings if you want. It says, Happy Father's Day to our amazing father, Oswald Bain, from his five sons. We love you. It says, Juan, you forgot one of the best days of your life was when you got your first Transformers toy. It says, good day. I want to send a shout out to my father, Mr. Gary Lord Roll Sr. That's from Gary II. It says, Michael J. Moss, award-winning architect. Thanks a million, Dad. It says, and you are incredibly important. Bring him to work with you on the radio one day. Let us meet him. You know, my daughter has been asking me recently to come to work with me, which that's that sounds easy. But she's five, it's not, right? So I asked my wife if she could just bring her while we're doing the show and she could come and watch, and I guess she wants to say hi. And also, again, the children of the nation are monitoring you guys. My wife had my two kids in the car yesterday when my show was on, and she heard me starting to talk about, to quote Chanel Ferguson, and she said she turned the radio down because she didn't want to have to explain what I was saying to my children. She said she turned the radio back up when she thought it was done, but I was still saying it. And she said, my daughter said, but I'm not irritating. And my son said, no, you're not irritating. Women aren't irritating. Women are pretty and nice. Why does she think they're irritating? You got to do better. You got to do better. You have children of your own, guys. Is this the example you want to set for them? Don't you want the children of the Bahamas to look at you and look at what you're doing and aspire to that? To something noble and honorable, as you call yourselves? Don't you want to be thoughtful about what you're saying so that when you speak to the nation, people gain something substantive from it? Don't you want that? You don't take your job seriously at all? You just say anything? You act any kind of way? Says, we all think you're special, Juan. LOL, happy Father's Day. Thank you. This says, Juan, I want to say, first of all, happy Father's Day to you. Secondly, Philip Davis is a prime disgrace to the country. First, Christie threw up the middle finger. Now Davis cursing the people's house. The PLP wasted $30 million of my money in a building without a lease. Wow. Yeah, and Brave Davis is wrong for cursing the parliament. It's no excuse for it. You should apologize to the Bahamian people. And everyone else is wrong for their conduct who was conducting themselves in that manner yesterday. Moutrie told them, he said, you're disrespecting this house. You don't have any respect for the institution. You reduce it to a bar room. You got to do better. I'm not, I ain't going to let it ride. Do better. Treat our business as if it is important to you. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I kind of agree with you more. You know, what you were saying is correct. I didn't watch the Pulse of the Family yesterday. But in order for this country to go in another direction, I could see what you're saying. We, as a member of the parliament, they need to be more serious in conducting our business. And what I really wanted to talk about is the system in this country. You ever try going through a government system dealing with any matter?
Yes, I
the
have.
The question, huh?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Man, look at one. The simplest thing is like they have to jump on an airplane, and go to China and come back to have it done. I mean, the simplest thing, just to take one document, to have one signature done,
mm-hmm.
they have to go all around the planet in the government system. You know, and it's like people, I don't know what this system in this country, this has to change, you know.
Yep, I agree.
As Bahamians need to vote and decide whether we can continue this, and I never thought I'd find myself really saying this, but for what I've been dealing with here lately, we have a system in this country could do better, but refuse to. You ever try calling NIB and get through to their number? What's up with that?
Well, I got the hookup at NIB, so I
don't know. But that, I mean, you know, you could call them and drive all the way there before somebody answers the phone. I mean, because their system is busy, you know. The system just, their phone is not working. And this has been going on now for a while, and nobody addressed that situation.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
We need to do something, man. Do something. This is irritating, and this is frustrating, and it's you don't know they're acting that way now. They have to, because they don't take the system, they don't take the people, and they don't take the work serious.
All right. Thanks much. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
A godly day to Sister Akion Weiss along with you, Juan.
Amen, brother.
Juan is very decent with the way you had spoken to your son. Stay in that position whereby you will always be able to teach him something, teach them something. But you know what God bugged me, Juan? Those politicians, like, come around your house to ask you to vote for them with others. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I wonder where they pride at. But just like you said, they think we are a joke. Something needs to give. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Let's take a couple of calls, and then we'll do a break. I'll read your texts, some of your Father's Day shout-outs. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Pleasant good afternoon, Daddy.
How's it going, my brother? Happy Father's Day.
Especially to you and all the fathers out there.
Mm-hmm.
I must reminisce and say I do remember your dad.
Yes, awesome.
I met him up in the Supervalu shopping center, and he had a little ice cream shop.
Yep.
We used to chit-chat occasionally. He was similar to my father, the father that I grew up with, in my home, I say. Wasn't much for words. He's not going to bend the conversation. You'll have to take the conversation to him, and then he'll retaliate. That was similar, you know, you just, hey, Mr. McCartney, how you doing? Or we knew one another at first names. He called me Spark, I called him, you know, him.
Right.
But, you know, the hell of that was the first thing, but to say anything else, you got to start the conversation with him. And, I must say he was a gentleman, a good businessman, and like I said, didn't say nothing much. So top of the day, your dad and the dads out there. But one, you know, when you're growing up, a lot of us did not grow up in the same type homes. There's many, you know, we had this thing that you should be this way, you should be that way, but you got to realize that other people might not have had what you had.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't class them because they're not like you. Like, I grew up in a home with a father that was there, but was not there. He was a bartender, worked for Bethel Robinson, When we woke up in the morning, he was already gone. He didn't have a car, so he used to walk to work. And from work in the evening, if my mother was off on time, she'd go to pick him up around about 10 o'clock and meet him walking home. He didn't really get a car till I was actually already graduated from Government High in 1970. He got his first car after I graduated high school. My mother always had a car, but she died when I was only 15. So I didn't see my father much other than on Sundays when he would get up even Sunday morning and go to St. Mary's Church on Virginia Street, and we would go to St. George's Church right in the valley. We wouldn't see him until maybe in the evening, because after church, he'd go up on Hawkins Hill with his brothers then, who had a bar. Maybe in the evening, we'd see him when he come home. And then that's the one I got for years, probably all our life. So you might have seen your dad every day. We didn't see her, so we didn't get the same upbringing. But I think the fathers of the day, they did their best, did what they had. Times were different from what they are today. Even as far as growing up, I was a year older than you. It was a different time when I was growing up. Like, when I started nightclubbing after school.
We got to go to a break here, though.
I got to walk. Okay, let me do this quick. I got to walk from Adara Street to the Doubloon or King of Knights at night and walk back 2-3 o'clock in the morning with nobody bothering me. You wouldn't even try that today.
No.
You wouldn't even come with your house walking in the day. The fella right around the corner from you, two of them with a gun in Foxville from there, ready to grab you.
Yeah, things have changed.
Times have changed. This country is dangerous now. I scared to go out in Nassau in the night by myself.
All right, I got to go to a break, Sparky. We'll be back on the other side. I'll get to your text. Stay tuned.
You asked for it, and now it's here. Introducing the all-new plant-based Rebel Whopper only at Burger King Nassau. The new Rebel Whopper is everything you expect in a Whopper with a meatless plant-based patty that is flame-grilled to perfection with all the fixings you love on that famous sesame seed bun. Come try out the new Rebel Whopper with fries and a Pepsi and see if you can tell the difference. The Rebel Whopper is 100% Whopper, 0% beef, and only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
After a hurricane, you may experience loss or damage to your property. The Insurance Commission of the Bahamas would like to advise that if your property is insured, try to minimize your loss. Contact your agent or insurer right away. Know what you are covered for under your policy. Note that after a hurricane, insurers hire loss adjusters to assist with speedy settlement of claims. For more information on what to expect when making a hurricane claim, visit www.icb.gov.bs.
Marlin Marine is going digital to better serve you. Check out our digital showroom at marlin-marine.com or visit our Facebook page and select Shop to view our stock, speak with a sales agent, or request a quote. Be prepared this hurricane season with our lineup of Generac portable and standby generators. Our diesel and LP standby generators give you clean, uninterrupted power, while our portable generators provide convenient power where you need it, keeping you connected no matter the conditions. Find the Generac that best suits you. Contact Marlin Marine today and our sales agents will be sure to help. Call 393-7873, visit marlin-marine.com, and follow our social media pages to stay updated on our latest products. When the power cuts out, Generac steps in. So get your Generac generator today at Marlin Marine, giving you power on land and sea.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Travel less, but vacation more by indulging yourself and your family with the ultimate staycation getaway at Atlantis. Sleep in, relax, play, go out. say yes to a fantastic staycation in your very own paradise, just over the bridge. For reservations, call 363-6483 or visit Atlantis Local on Facebook for details.
There's only one way to have a better morning.
How?
Start your mornings the best way with our 2 for $6 breakfast sandwiches at Wendy's. For a limited time, choose any two of your favorite breakfast sandwiches, including the fresh Crackin' Sack Muffin, honey buttermilk chicken biscuit, double sausage muffin, or the sausage egg and cheese biscuit. Wash it all down with our cold brew shake or coffee. Better mornings always start at Wendy's. Wendy's, different inside and out. Airport locations.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Not going to take any more calls before we go to the break. Like I said, I got the union coming on in the second hour. I'm going to read your messages and send me your text messages for Father's Day. Father's Day shout-outs, and I'll do it. I'll read them. It says, good day, Juan. Your son is a very smart guy. I know he'll always have this impression on these parliamentarians for the rest of his life. Good afternoon, Juan Hockham, only Hannah Martin and Brave Davis is get put out of the House of Assembly. But the guys you mentioned in the background always interrupting. Yeah, well, Mutri said that if it continues, he's going to ask them to leave, to withdraw if they keep doing it. Juan, comparing that investment to Shantytowns was dirty. Bannister knows better. Sometimes I get tired of this. Can't wait to get rid of them. This says, Juan, you're absolutely right. No standards, no respect for the office, like the House of Assembly. The Speaker has used his position to further downgrade our House and some of the other MPs as well. It's not a joke. This country has serious issues, and we need to get serious. Juan, the lessons for your son yesterday was how not to conduct himself. It says, great show as usual. For Father's Day, I want more than... This is Juan, I do not let the kids watch them clowns in the House of Assembly. And happy Father's Day, Juan, and please advocate for us all, for all of us fathers to get something from John Bull. Yeah, that's right. Give him something more. I'm not saying don't. Give him something more than just the crab and rice and maybe a little loving. I'm not saying don't give him those things. I'm saying give him more than that. Give him those things and then more. Give him a gift. He wants a gift, okay? So, a gift is something that I don't already have, right? So, Juan, the MP who texted you, who said he was ashamed, but yet did not get up and said that in the House, he can't be that ashamed. Yeah. So, since you have the hookup at NIB, I need to know if my daughter's card is ready for collection. There's no way of finding out. I'll circle back to that another time. Says, as long as there's no political price to pay, there will never be meaningful change. We vote out people only to reelect them 5 years later. That's why they see us as a joke. This says, bro, all this talk with these men and women with no character from both parties, but you're friends with some of them and you don't see any wrong, e.g. Jeff Lloyd. Why don't he speak up on all the wrong? Well, Jeff Lloyd wasn't into it yesterday, and I thank you not to make it about me, all right? I wasn't in the House of Assembly. I can't control grown people's behavior. I can only point out their errant behavior. They're grown. Let them own it. I don't own any of that. That's not on me. Good day, one. Happy Father's Day, bro. Thank you. How, though, can you tolerate Sparky, not the other guy that you banned? At least the guy made sensible contributions. All right. Listen, and here's the thing, right? We want
the best for our children. Yes? The best. Right? That's what any sensible, caring parent wants. And that means, as well, we want the best country we can have for our children. And I'm shocked that I have to tell you this, but that's going to take serious people doing a lot of work, because we have many challenges. You're going to have to take this seriously. If you don't, please push out. Please push out. And let someone who's serious about it do the work. It's disgraceful. This says, Speaker Mutrie became DJ Mutrie. Furthermore, in all fairness, they are doing the people's business. The MPs are just having a normal human moment. We all react BS, right? Like Brave David said, BS. BS. Making excuses for them. Normal human moment. Normal humans act like that where? In a bar? Under a tree on the side of the road? You're conducting the business of the nation. There's no room for that. Total disrespect to the House. You should be ashamed of yourself. I cut nobody no break. As I said, voice note it, right? And make a video about it and send it to your MP. I want them to hear it. You should be ashamed of yourselves. You know what I hope happens? I don't care who wins the next election. I really don't, right? At this point. But I pray whoever wins the next election does not have a large majority of seats, because it makes you complacent. What I want is a House of Assembly populated with people who are in a party who are very afraid that the balance of power can shift quickly if they do not act with sense. When you got 30-something seats out of 39, you stop checking, apparently. Right? The PLPF and them, all of y'all. That's my fervent prayer. That you whoever wins doesn't win by too large a margin. Because I don't think it's good for our democracy. Happy Father's Day to God, the father of all fathers, and also to my deceased father, Alfred Bullard, remembering the fishing trips on Saturdays, Dad. You conduct in business, having a normal human moment. If you're in a bank and people act like that, you'd be like, I have to leave. These people, they can't conduct my business seriously. Let me remove my money from this institution. They're not about my business. Happy Father's Day. All I want is healthy, productive kids. Keep the crabs. Good day, Juan. Those grown-ups in the House of Assembly can't be called honorable the way they're carrying on. It's embarrassing. It is embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for them. It says, good afternoon, Juan. I just want to remember my father, who's deceased. He wasn't the perfect dad earlier on. However, he has 6 adult girls who are all adults prior to his death. He lived home in Acklands, where he was born. He loved his daughters, and every year he would go out fishing and brought each one of us bonefish, barracuda, turtle, and any fish he caught just to have something for us when he came to Nassau. He died that year fishing for us, so I just want to remember my dad. That's very, very nice tribute. It says, P.S. Happy Father's Day. It says, have a good day. Good afternoon. Happy Father's Day to you and all the fathers of our nation. We need a complete revamping of our political system with an entire new slate of seriously minded, innovative, professional-focused individuals who want to create a progressive nation. We're going to change this plot. Yeah, we can change it, but we're not going to get there like this. All right? Hey, Juan, I listen to your show every day. Best show. There are some little smart kids you have. I'm so proud. Proud of you. Happy Father's Day. Tell your wife, Cookie, something good. Thanks. All right, we got to go to news. Says, yes, I agree, Juan. Hope the next government only has more than 3 to 4 seat advantage. That's what I'm hoping. Because this, y'all, you know, it ain't gonna work like this. I gotta tell you. All right? I'm frightened now. Right? I was concerned. Now I'm afraid.
All right, let's go to news. We'll be back. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Got an announcement to make. Rev wishes to advise its customers they'll be conducting network upgrades between 12 a.m. and 6 a.m. on Sunday, June 20th in select areas of New Providence. During this period, customers may observe disruption to their Rev services. Every effort will be made to reduce this disruption. The network upgrade areas are Bay Rock, Blue Hill Road, Cable Beach, Collins Avenue, Harold Road, Killarney Shores, Millennium Gardens, Oak Hill Road, Old Fort Bay, Pride Estates, Prospect Ridge, Sandyport, Skyline Drive, Stapleton, Tropical Gardens, Turnberry, West Bay Street, Westridge, West Winds, Yellow Elder, and surrounding areas. If you're experiencing any service issues outside of this scheduled maintenance period, please let us know. Simply WhatsApp 804-9160. That's 804-9160. Or you can live chat or DM Rev on Facebook. Rev wishes to thank its customers for their patience and for choosing Rev. All right. Now, joining me in the second hour, I have Kyle Wilson, the president of the Bahamas Electrical Workers Union, as well as Daniel Thompson, the president of the Union of Tertiary Educators of the Bahamas, UTEP, which is UB's union. Okay. Kyle told me to get ready. I tell Kyle, I ain't got to get ready. I stay ready. I'm ready for action every at a moment's notice. Right? So it's good to have you here. I saw you were in the Tribune yesterday voicing some concerns about power generation. And the very same day, Minister of Public Works Desmond Bannister is talking about BPL, saying there's going to be no load shedding. There shouldn't be a problem. He gave a litany of excuses for why we've had power outages, because we consistently have them off and on. Are we to believe this, that there aren't going to be problems with power this summer? And could you also tell us what exactly is happening at BPL that after a number of years, we still can't seem to get it together?
Well, first of all, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Happy Father's Day to my dad, retired police sergeant Dallas Wilson, and to my adopted dad, Mr. Obie Ferguson. One, don't believe your lying eyes and ears. Don't believe the hot nights you spent with your power off constantly, right? We've been proven across the archipelago. I've received calls from Abaco to Nagua of complaints about power outages. Just a few days ago, someone from the Exuma Keys, they called me complaining. I hear voice notes of people attacking the union and attacking the workers, but it's really not us. If you boil it down, it boils down to the management. We have some grossly incompetent people, if you ask me, when you have generators running out of fuel. This is the Bahamas, man. 21st right. century. We're running out of fuels. When you have monitors, persons, we have plant operators, and we have all the indicators, and we're running those big whole power station out of fuel, not fueling those generators, causing people to have to sweat for no reason. I mean, you can go on and on, the parts, the issues, and all of that. But part of the main part of it is you have these big consultants with these big, fat, sloppy salaries floating around, having a good time, probably around the beach having a good time. And they ain't doing nothing. They just air bagging and wasting the Bahamian people's money. Because why we have all these high-paid, high-powered consultants here who ain't doing nothing? They probably just jet ski. You check them out right now, they probably out there jet skiing or parasailing on the Bahamian people's money.
Well, my question is this too, and I guess, well, I'll have to ask you because I don't see them around. But we spent all this money with Wärtsilä, right? At least $100 million to date, right? At least, just to get it. And they still can't get the plant to operate properly. What is going on with that plant at Clifton? And also, I found it very strange that they're now trying to blame outages on sabotage, right?
One.
So that would mean that you guys are sabotaging the equipment, the engines?
Far be it, right? One, you have to understand Clifton Pier is a fortress in terms of security and security personnel and cameras, right?
Right.
That Wärtsilä, the same thing. So what kind of sabotage? But you know what? When we have these foreigners, right, with these fake IDs trying to access the property, what are they doing? Are they up to sabotage? What is he doing? Because all of a sudden these little funny things happening when I seen these little fake IDs going around, but they're covering for them. But then they want to try and blame sabotage. Man, come on. You all know you all are grossly incompetent the way you're handling these engines. The power's out because you're running out of fuel or parts or you ain't know what you're doing and all this stuff. But what they want to do, introduce this handheld thing where you put in your salary and how much WD-40 you use for the day and this and that. Instead of training the Bahamian people, bringing in young boys and young women to learn power production. They bring in, that's the kind of training we need.
So let me circle back because I saw this on social media. I'm trying to figure out like how much what there is to it that's real. So they say that there's a foreign consultant who was hired by Wärtsilä, I've been to the Clifton plant numerous times, and you don't get a step in without ID, right?
Yes.
So I saw that he had an ID, and it had like Betty Davis or somebody.
Oh, Marilyn
like,
Monroe.
Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn
she
Monroe.
Died in 1953.
On it, see, and I just talked about this during the last hour, right? When you start playing with serious business, I start looking at you sideways, right?
That's correct.
So Clifton plant ain't no play thing. They have real challenges, and
yeah,
I found
that's
that
right about that. Because they got people playing around. He got time enough to be sitting on the computer making fake ID. Instead, he walk around the plant and see what really the challenges are and make the recommendations. He making fake ID. What kind of clown show is this, man?
Yeah.
You know, I've seen circuses probably more like organized than what I see happening today. This the way we run in BPL is like a petty side of the road tuck shop. This isn't the BPL or the BEC I came up in as an apprentice, man. I had pride. I felt so excited. One, you know, right? I had pride, man. I felt like somebody going to be putting on that B. I almost sleep in that shirt, right? I used to sleep in that. But now, when lunch break, I can't wait to get that off just to go to lunch. I can't wear that outside the yard because it has no pride no more. People cursing at you and calling you names and lousy and you all don't have the power on and this and that. You know, I mean, how did we get you, man? How did we get you? Why did we throw away those training programs? Where's the training department? Why are we building Bahamian lives? Why are we building the lives of Canadians and all these foreigners and giving them house and car and everything? And we still ain't improving. There's no product improvement. What are we doing as a nation, man?
So where does the relationship with the union stand with management?
The management of BPL-1 is totally disrespectful to this union. They do whatever they want. You know what? Because they know the conciliatory processes and the courts, you can drag on for years. So they shoot first, ask questions last, right? Mm-hmm. And when the union cry foul, they're making it seem like, oh, you have a job, so accept what we do to you. We put our foot on your neck, be happy that you have a job. That everything is be happy, you have a job. We take away your benefits, but you still have a job. So they do whatever they want to do, contrary to the agreements, right? And then when you try to stand up, someone told me the other day, they try to discipline an employee for not wanting to go to something that is not mandatory. They have this fake training thing they set up. No letter from HR, no letter from the training department, no memo, no emails, nothing. Just telling people, subordinates like me, telling me come go to a training. And if I don't want to go, then I get right up. But that's not in our agreement. and that's against the agreement. These people have no respect for the laws of the Bahamas. You understand what I'm saying? These are labor laws. You got to conduct yourself in accordance with the laws of the Bahamas and in accordance with these agreements. But these people have no respect. I don't know where they get this attitude from, but like this, it don't work good for the Bahamian people. And I do not want the Bahamian people to be pawns in the game or to be held hostages between the union and BPL. Y'all, please get it right.
Yeah, and that's always the fear. And that's been the prickly point for the Bahamas Electrical Workers Union is you don't want to have to get to a place where you're withdrawing your labor because that's going to impact everyone you know and all the people of the Bahamas. But you do want to be heard.
Yes.
So, now, let me speak to Mr. Thompson here for a few minutes. So over at the University of the Bahamas, there recently you guys have had a controversy where they've hired an executive vice president who is from Iraq, but he was last in Trinidad. And the provost left recently, and now there's a situation where there's no provost, but this new executive vice president, who's not Bahamian, is acting in the capacity as the provost? Let me know what's happening.
Well, he's the next senior person to the president. If the president were to move off the scene,
right,
he now becomes the acting president.
I see.
And the issue with the executive vice president is really one where the university is able to afford and is able to hire an executive vice president,
right,
on the one hand, but they are unable or unwilling to provide the support to its faculty. Mm-hmm. That's really the issue. And over the last few weeks, they have been advertising hire more and more senior executives. But at the same time, they're telling faculty that, hey, we don't have any money. Things are really tight. You know, this is austerity measures.
Right.
But in fact, a university's basic function is teaching and research.
Mm-hmm.
And if those who carry out the principal function of the institution are not supported, are not the priority, then tell me who else is?
Right.
Which other entity?
Yeah, you always look at the employer like, well, I ain't got no money, but I'm going to go hire a bunch of people in
yes.
senior management.
Yes.
Ain't no Christmas bonus, though, right?
And we're not just talking about necessary replacement, but we're talking about additional posts. I mean, and every other week, there's new advertisement to bring in someone else, and these are in the very high-figure salaries, along with perks and other benefits.
Mm.
And that's the issue. You know, we have, for example, persons who were promoted 10 years ago are still waiting to get their back pay 10 years ago.
Really?
They just got their final documentation this year, but they're still waiting from 2011, 2012. And, you know, the police force, they do promotions every year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how far back we are with our promotional exercise. So we are now up to 2016, but we're still waiting on the pay way back from 2011, 2012.
Right.
And that is the type of thing that the university has been engaged in, not really having an appreciation for this. And the faculty over the last year or two since this pandemic, they have sacrificed significantly. We have foregone a lot of our potential benefits, or we have asked them to delay it. We have also, and we have converted to online teaching. And in many instances, there's been very little support there's been no support from the university in assisting faculty. For example, I had to invest between $15,000 to $2,000 just to get my equipment.
Really?
My cameras, my computers, and my different...
So they didn't provide any of that for
no,
you?
No type of support.
Really?
They were supposed to provide, but in principle, they probably give one or two persons a computer. One or two faculty got some type of support. So this is the type of thing what it makes it very egregious for the union, that we are sacrificing, we are teaching classes, we increase our class size to enhance the profitability of the institution, and then you're saying, oh, we don't have no money, but we're going to hire, we have a senior vice president
right.
here, we have a assistant vice president there, we need to hire them and to bring in more money. When in fact, you already have a top-heavy department that's supposed to be bringing in money, and you're adding more people to that department, but there's no money coming, no significant amount of money is coming in. It's just simply the continuous talk and promises, and I call it sweet talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the time has passed for sweet talk when it comes to the money, to the revenue-generating capability of the university and its institutional advancement department. There's too much talk and less action.
Now, what's the union's relationship with the new executive vice president? Have you spoken to him? Has he addressed any of this? Or the president? And also, have you guys, what's your concern to the board?
Yeah, I think, and with my brother Kyle here at BPL, we have a different type of scenario where there is communication, weekly, regular communication.
Right.
There is dialogue. Communications have been sent up the line.
Right.
But we still have the same problems in terms of administration does what administration wants to do.
Right.
You know, and they can, and so we are constantly fighting. I mean, for example, even though we are talking, the university over the last few days announced some conditions with online teaching in the fall.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't talk
and
about
the
that.
First thing I got from them, Mr. President, have we discussed this? I say no.
Right.
There's been no dialogue on those matters, but they are posting. They argue that the academic senate has approved things, but anything relating to our terms of employment has to come across the union.
Mm.
And this is a type of disrespect. But we are talking. We are talking weekly. We engage in dialogue. But there are still empty promises.
Right.
And we don't worry what I say. What I do.
I feel like you're being strung along. I read a study in the United States where they surveyed 2,000 college professors. And they said that, I think it's something like 70-something percent of them, said that online learning is less effective than in-person learning. I wonder if they're trying to figure out how to transition back to in-person, or does that not seem...
Well, we would definitely have to transition back to face-to-face learning, you know. But the thing about it, both have their strengths and their weaknesses. And given the pandemic, perhaps that's the best way with the risk involved and the comorbidity of our members. So we support the online environment, right? But we realize that it is not sustainable. There must be a need for face-to-face engagement, especially in some of our activities such as lab work and other hands-on practicum that are needed in the course of their programs, like our nursing program, like our culinary arts program. There is a need to engage in face-to-face activities. And the online modality also brings into question terms of employment.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to now engage in hiring online teachers throughout the world who are not paying rent? They're not paying NIB, or rather they're not no utility payments. So are you going to now engage in persons all over the world who can come now as a full-time faculty and teach without residing in the country? So there are some terms of employment issues that must be addressed that we hope that we can sit down with the university to engage in those this type of discourse.
Okay. Well, if you want to call, have a comment or a question for any of the gentlemen, you can do so. 323-6232, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4316, and 325-4259, 325-4259. Kyle Wilson, Desmond Bannister, yesterday said, to much fanfare, by those in the governing party, that BPL is now fully run by Bahamians. So what is it that you're talking about, that there's all these foreigners?
I mean, maybe the management part of it or the executive part of it, but, I mean, the management of Wadzilla is a foreign management company. Is that not true?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, then. And so when we do overhauls in the Out Islands, we bring in Man Diesel and Lincoln Diesel. Those are foreign companies out of the UK. When we have Alpha Marine and other companies right here, we decide to go for the foreign companies. To some extent, we have just recently, we overhauled a machine that can't run, GD5. They brought in a whole Canadian company to overhaul a machine that cannot run because it has no generator end. They sent the generator end over 2 years ago for repair. And God knows where it is right now. It still ain't show up yet 2 years later.
Really?
But they just did an overhaul a couple months ago, and that same Canadian company had to turn around and hire some former BPL employees to assist them. See, they play smoke and mirrors. See, the minister, I have, to be honest with you, Minister Desmond Bannister, the deputy prime minister of the country, he's a great person, excellent guy, someone I turn to for assistance when they... freaking out at BPL, and he always gives me a listening ear and an open door. When I write to him, he don't write back. He calls me back, and he says, come and see me. right? Because when you talk face-to-face, there's no back to stop.
Right.
Right? And so I realize sometimes what they feed them is not the truth.
Yeah, my understanding of when the blackout happened because of Blue Hills was that the generators ran so low on fuel that the sediment started getting into the engines, and that's what crippled them. But Bannister put out a different thing talking about the fuel was tainted or whatever that.
Well, you have to understand, right? Let me just say, even if the fuel is tainted, even if there's sludge in it, right, mm-hmm. that is going to float to the top.
Right.
And so you're not going to get that until it gets to the low levels, right? Right. But you have to understand, appreciate that he doesn't work the BPL. He has to rely on the people.
He speaks so authoritatively about it.
And so he believes in them because he put them in place. Uh-huh. But sometimes people don't do what you expect. People do what you inspect. And I'd say that sometimes a master carpenter, he doesn't realize that he's working with rod and wood until he gets to a point.
Right.
Right? So he's going to listen to what they say to him, and he trusts them because they're appointed. But sometimes what they say is to cover themselves when they know it's not absolutely what it is.
Okay, this person is saying, Juan is a taxpayer. I need to know. Ask the BPL union president if he's related to Philip Brave Davis. I need to know.
If I'm related,
China.
I'm far from... I speak the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. I have no relation to Mr. Davis whatsoever, shape or form. I'm not a card-carrying member of any political organization whatsoever. I am the president of the Bahamas Electrical Workers Union. And so you have these persons who operate out these political headquarters and stuff like that. They try to cover their party. But be a nationalist. Be a Bahamian. Right? If the truth is being spoken, it's the truth. It may not feel good. It may not sound good because you think it may not make your party look good or political products, but this is the truth. They appoint these people who are making the mistakes, not me. Mm-hmm. So they have to hold these people accountable who they put there. Did not the generators them run out of fuel? That's egregious because two persons were fired, two executives were fired for the very same thing happening once. This has happened twice and no one is being held accountable. This is a disgrace. And when union members make mistakes, okay, someone changed a date on a job letter, dismiss. This guy could go and sit down, this computer and make up fake IDs, and it's covered and it's okay.
Right.
And Ron, I think what Brother Kyle is highlighting and what I'm highlighting is how important unions are, that they are the watchguard to the public purse. In other words, no other entity, whether it's senior management, none of them are able to speak very frankly about what's happening in these very various businesses. Mm-hmm. And I think Carl represents what is important, the important role of trade unions to shine a light. And trust me, when we shine light, it's like with cockroaches. Sometimes all you need to do is shine the light. Just shine the light. And they say, oh, well, we didn't recognize.
Well, I got a fog light.
All right, this says, Juan, BTVI has the same issues as UB. BTVI is still operating completely online. How does that work? It says, but the students need to return to do construction classes, fashion classes, cosmetology classes. Plus, not everyone is thriving in this online environment, and not every teacher likes it.
And Vaughn, in that regard, BTVI, we have about 24 members of BTVI faculty that are members of UTEB and that we are currently seeking recognition with the Department of Labor and the Minister of Labor. So we're waiting now for the minister to send us our determination of recognition in that regard. Mm-hmm. But they're faced with the same problems. And even more so at BTVI, because that's a trade school.
Yeah.
It's a vocational institution. And therefore, there is a need for hands-on relationship. But BTVI has a worse situation than us, but because we are not recognized as yet, we have the same type of thing. A management that is running wild, a mock of the law. And that no one can effectively bring them in line.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge.
They have a foreign
exactly. The same thing.
It seems like a nice
thing. The niceness is not the issue, brother. Right. This is not about niceness. Right. This is about what are you doing for national development. This ain't about no niceness, no
Amen.
Friends, or nobody. We have that's a building right. at BTVI that was from 2016. It's incomplete. and nobody wants to take responsibility for this building. They're about to tear it down, eco-sensitive building. You know, so these are and it's taxpayers' money, and that's the critical thing. The university is sponsored by taxpayers' money, me and your VAT money, and so we have to ask the questions. Man. What money is being spent to support this executive vice president? And why isn't that money being spent to support your faculty? We have the right to ask the question. And don't talk about the UB 2016 Act provides autonomy for the university, and therefore the university has its right. Bro, if you're living in my house, you could be 18 or 55. But if you're still living in my place, you're not autonomous.
That's right.
Yeah.
Autonomy comes when you can take care of yourself.
Right.
And until the university is able to take care of itself, they ought to be accountable and ought to be transparent. We ought to know what's the salaries of the chief executives and his cabinet.
Well, I piggyback on that because until BPL itself is an autonomous entity, we have to answer the questions, right? They can't get around it. And let me tell the Bahamian people something. When the union takes BPL to court, right? They ain't taking these individuals to court, you know. They taking you because you have to pay. That comes out of the treasury.
Yep.
So whenever we win or lose, you lose as Bahamian people. Even if I win, we all lose. And these individuals know what they're doing. They know they cannot be personally held accountable for the issues and the mistakes they make. They know when they disrespect the unions and we take them to court, they know money ain't coming out of their pocket, so they get away with it. But until they change the laws to hold these people personally liable who are breaking the labor laws, then you're going to see a change in their behavior.
Now, I got to circle back to you, Mr. Thompson. What was the issue with the labor certificate? Why is there a hold up on that?
Well,
there's the Minister of Labor.
Yeah, the Minister of Labor, he's the Minister of Labor. And so the Department of Labor, they have done their they did their work and their due diligence, and John Pinder advised me that it's been referred to the Minister of Labor because he who actually issues the certificate, the approval. So we are awaiting that approval. What's his hold up? I can tell you this, the last communication we did send to the Minister of Labor, it took him a year before we got any type of acknowledgement. So I leave that right there. So I'm hoping that this doesn't be the same in this instant.
So, Kyle, you know, we've historically had tension between management and line staff at BEC, now BPL. What's the way forward? How does this get resolved?
Juan, this is the worst it's ever been.
Okay.
This is the worst. I've been a shop steward, a chief shop steward, now president. This is the worst communication dialogue. I've just met the board after a year and a half as president a few weeks ago, right, virtually. And I've been asking for months and months to meet these people. Let's get on one speed. Let's get on one accord. You know, in the Bible, when you see that word one accord, great things happen. And I'm saying, sit with me. Let's talk the issues out. And let's try to develop the company to a point where it can sustain itself. You know, the more BPL makes, the more I can make. And I want to see the company flourish, and I want to see great things happen. But when I see foolishness, I'm going to call it out, because you know what? It's going to adversely affect me and my membership in the long run. And persons see us, and they blame us. They don't blame Mr. Hasty, and they don't blame the other executives or the board or Dr. Moxie. They blame me, the worker, and they say it's our fault, like we intentionally go and pull out a plug or something.
Yeah.
Everything that happens, they put it to us. And so I'm trying to tell these people, help protect your workers, man. Listen to us. We know what we need. And so sometimes listen to the union. We're the guys on the ground doing the work. We know the tools we need. We know the programs we need. We know the training we need. And speak to us. Come and speak to the union and say, Mr. President, what do you need for the workers to improve, for productivity, for improvement? What do we need for the cashiers to advance? What do we need for the craftsmen to advance, the linesmen? Right now, we need vehicles. There's no vehicles. I understand they've been renting a car in Andrus for maybe over 2 years, a rental car every day. Come on, how many cars could we have bought?
I heard they were renting trucks in like Eleuthera.
Yeah, everything we just rent. And I don't know why we're renting when we can purchase, or if we're going to rent, then let's go to Bus and Truck, or let's go to one of these companies and get our own vehicles, right? So I don't know what the premise behind it. But, I mean, to me, you're not listening to the workers. Everybody just chucks their head in the sand or the fingers in their ass. I notice now when they look at the camera and I buzz the executive office, all the doors close. Every door closed, right? But, you know, you have to sit with the union. You have to work together. Together we are better. You cannot be disjointed. You know, I mean, come on. How do you expect to move forward the way you're operating? You know, disrespecting the union and disrespecting the workers. We are the ones that produce the electricity and make it happen, you know.
And what I find interesting is that the Wärtsilä plan operates as, I guess, an independent nation state within Clifton, kind of like the Vatican.
That's correct.
Right? And that's a foreign component, although they claim to me that the majority of those people who they hire were Bahamian.
Well,
and it's been going on, this is 4 years now that BPL has been trying to conclude a deal with another entity, Shell, and we have no earthly idea what's going on. A year ago, Dr. Donovan Moxie, the chairman of BPL's board, said that they were close to concluding that, and still nothing. Do you have any idea what's supposed to go on?
Well, Wärtsilä is a shining example as to why we ought to not look outside the Bahamas for energy production. To me, it's nearly failed. When it was in one, remember, they had cooling issues and couldn't run those. Then they have to repair this. They have to look at that. There's this. There's not. Then they run out of fuel. Everything goes haywire over there. And you know how they do? Someone came to me and said, Kyle, do you know what at Wärtsilä, they have to bring their chemical testing equipment or their chemicals to be tested to the BEC employees to do it?
Mm.
Right? The sludge handling is still done by BEC employees. BEC employees still have to go to maybe align pumps and assist them. But they're not saying that, you know. But they're telling you, oh, foreign is better. But we're still using the Bahamian component to make it happen. We have to get away from this idea. We have great engineers that travel the world, like Mr. Judson Wilmore and those, who install and up and make power plants, right, from scratch. He's the one who installed GD1, right? And so we have
turbine.
We have these people here. We have Siobhan Cambridges and Mark Hudson, and these guys are still young, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And these people have been, as far as deputy general manager of BPL and assistant general manager, mm-hmm. and these people are still out there, and we can use these people as consultants. We don't have, even Mr. The former GM, his name slipped me, Mr. Kevin
Basden,
yes. He's still out there, and we can pull these Bahamian resources in. These are the people who know how every wire Ron and BPL, how everything's laid out. We can use them for foreign. We can use them for consultants instead of bringing in these foreigners who are lost because they have to still come and ask payments what to do.
Now, I got one more question for Kyle at the moment. So I want to ask two things, actually. The rate reduction bond that they still can't get off the ground, that Desmond Bannister, alarmingly to me, refused to talk about yesterday, is supposed to provide money to solve a longstanding issue that I've had several employees at Clifton complain to me about, which is the oil, all right? So when I was at the Clifton plant, I could see the oil in the trenches, right?
Yes.
And I'm told there's about 3 million gallons of oil just spilled out there that they need to remediate. So is that supposed to just stay there until they figure the rate reduction bond out? Because it's been several years now. Or is there a plan for that?
They say they have plans underway to try to address it. That's been a long-standing issue. We have a great team of guys who work. They call it the Seaside Department. Those guys work tirelessly day and night. They even go to sea to reclaim the oil. They go and clean people's boats that are contaminated by the oil. These guys work really hard. I've even worked along with them. I mean, they spend the whole day pumping oil like you struck oil from natural resource. Mm-hmm. That's how much oil is down there. I can't necessarily blame the current BPL administration for that because that's been an ongoing vexing issue. I don't know if even with that rate reduction bond, because don't forget now, they just did some work to try to capture that oil and resolve it. That's why they have that new pier down there.
Yeah.
And that's still not working. That's how much oil is down there. So I mean, you'd almost have to redo the entire Clifton plant to really get at that. And I'm not sure how you can get at that, because it's really, I mean, that whole entire area is absolutely saturated. But one, another concern that I have that employs, you know, we just brought back on DA-12.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, but, you know, employees are saying to me, Kyle, they're forcing us to work on this machine, but these machines still don't have the necessary protections. They don't even have fire systems on them. You just, two machines just burned down. Mm-hmm. They still ain't erect the proper fire systems.
So they didn't put the fire stuff back?
As far as I'm aware, no.
Really?
One, we just lost two major assets about a year and a half ago in Bimini. Mm-hmm. No one even talks about that. We burned down the two engines there. And so every second engines are burning down all over the place. Things. I mean, someone must be held accountable, man. So, and I'm not just trying to nitpick at anyone again. But we, until people are being held accountable, you're not going to get the best out of people, because they're going to be nonchalant and say, no one's going to do me nothing for giving slack work.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a break, and we'll let you jump in, because you had some concerns you wanted to talk about as well. On the other side, talking to Kyle Wilson from Bahamas Electoral Workers Union and Daniel Thompson from UTEB. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In life, there are always challenges. Today, we find ourselves having to be more self-sufficient, socially aware, and technically savvy. At J.S. Johnson, we are committed to our customers by providing cost-effective insurance solutions. No matter what your insurance needs, we will always be here for you. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Hello, sir. Your credit card bill is due. Hello, sir. It's time for your monthly loan payment. Tired of creditors pounding at your door? Sign up for a debt consolidation loan from Fidelity Bank and consolidate your debt into one low monthly payment. What's more, you will also earn interest on a built-in savings account. The pandemic has curbed many freedoms, but at Fidelity, our focus is to help regain your financial freedom. Visit a branch or speak to a Fidelity Bank at 356-7764. COVID safety measures in place at all branches. Fidelity, we're good for you.
But vacation more by indulging yourself and your family with the ultimate staycation getaway at Atlantis. Sleep in, relax, play, go out. Say yes to a fantastic staycation in your very own paradise, just over the bridge. For reservations, call 363-6483 or visit Atlantis Local on Facebook for details.
Menchie's is proud to announce the opening of its new Harbor Bay location this Wednesday, June 16th. But there's more. Bring the kids between 1 and 3 p.m. for a free kitty cup with the purchase of a regular cup and a chance to see Menchie's at their special grand opening this Saturday, June the 19th. With more than 100 flavors and a fun-filled atmosphere, there is happiness in every cup. Menchie's, make you smile one cup at a time.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We're speaking with Kyle Wilson from the BEWU and Daniel Thompson from UTEB. I just need to read this text real quick. It says, Juan, I want to send a tribute to my father, Forrester Bastian. Happy Father's Day from your daughter, Bunkin, and family. We love you. And I thank you for encouraging me to pursue my artwork as a teen. Love you, and I know the road is hard, but stay strong. And by the way, Juan, tell fathers they need to do better. It's not enough to make a child. You have to take care of them, too, regardless whether or not you and the mother are together. Don't expect women to free up for child support. No, good point. Yeah, you got to have a lot of fathers out there do better. So, Mr. Thompson, you had some other issues.
Yes, I'd like to just put a figure in here that at the University of the Bahamas, we have a cadre of committed non-Bahamian faculty.
Right.
About 20% of our members are non-Bahamians. And in academia, there is a legitimate justification that you compete internationally for the best scholars available. You know, but what UTEB maintains is that senior leadership ought to be Bahamian. And we think of, and persons may say, do we possess the capability locally? I give you some names. Mm-hmm. Kevin Bethel, Dr. Leon Higgs, Dr. Earl Carey Bean, Dr. Rhonda Chipman, our current president, Dr. Rodney Smith, Dr. Linda Davis, Dr. Brenda Clare, Dr. Beulah Farquharson, Dr. Danny Davis, Dr. Maria Oriaki. We have a cadre of well-qualified professionals at the university to fill any and all of the positions in senior management at the university.
Right. I remember the former president, Betsy Vogel-Bowes, she had given a speech one time, and she said, look, I really don't feel as though I have to explain to you that Bahamians should be running the University of the Bahamas. Yeah. And she was a foreigner, you know?
Yes, and I got to add Dr. Ian Strawn, one of our very brightest in at UB North.
Right.
So we do possess the skills locally. And I must add a caveat here, or I'll say for the UTEB, most of these are UTEB members, you know, coming from the rank of our faculty who are able and capable to lead the institution. So recognize them, recognize their contribution, because that is critical to nation building.
Mm, absolutely. So what do you, where do you go forward with the management and the union? What's the way forward?
Well, like I said, unlike probably what has happened at many unions, we do meet. The president and myself, we meet on a weekly basis.
Right.
We engage in dialogue and ideas. And like I say, notwithstanding those meetings, it helps, it gives us a better approach in dealing with our challenges, but the challenges still exist.
Right.
You must still hold the university accountable, but we have the advantage because we dialogue.
Yes.
You see, but dialoguing doesn't necessarily mean problems don't exist. They do exist, but we can engage in dialogue, you know. And, but of course, when it comes to certain matters, like the issue with the EVP's appointment and coming to the university and to this country, we took a strong opposition to his appointment, because we knew that with his appointment, the university would have exhausted most of their funds and resources to pay him and to give him his perks, and we would suffer while we have made the sacrifice, the faculty, to keep the institution afloat. And now it seems as if the benefit goes to senior administration as opposed to our ranks. So dialogue has not been able to solve that problem.
All right. So, Kyle, we only got a few minutes left here. What do you want to say to the Bahamian people about what has happened in the BPL? What do you want to say to management at BPL?
Well, I just want the Bahamian people to know that the union is responsible. We care about you. Had we not cared about you and not thought about you, the Bahamian people, you'd probably have had many not-so-happy nights. But I'm responsible, and I always think about the Bahamian people first, and I'll never hold you guys hostages unnecessarily for any reason just to fit the union's narrative. But we're not asking for money. We're not asking for things. We're asking for the respect of our industrial agreement. This company is hell-bent on breaking our industrial agreement. Not only that, we're asking them to give Bahamians a chance, to give your sons and daughters a chance instead of those foreigners, give you a chance to come in and learn. Bring back those training programs to help develop this nation. You know, I see so many young men out there, women too, and just engaging in basically non-productive or non-nation-building activities, you know. And I want to give them a chance, man. If they could handle these kind of weapons that they have out on the streets, I know they could do.
Right.
I know they could come and work on those things at BP, because those are intricate weapons that some of the police are confiscating.
Yeah, war-style
weapons,
like
you know, and they could strip cars. And so let's give them something positive. Let's take that energy and give them something positive to do. But when they hear that a foreigner is making $100+ an hour with a car and a house and staying in Atlanta and free food and all of that, that frustrates them, man. Give the Bahamian people a chance. Give us a chance to grow. Give us a chance to export our labor, right? We don't have an opportunity to export our labor, but we import these labor that's unnecessary. And so I'm not looking to create any issues or put the Bahamian people in fear. I'm just asking the company to stop what they're doing, disrespecting the workers, disrespecting our agreement, to sit down with us and let's work out the issues as grown men and women do, and stop just trying to take advantage of the labor climate in the Bahamas.
All right, excellent. Well, we got no more show left, really, but we want to say, as we get ready to depart, that we do hope that you have a great Father's Day out there. We hope that the fathers who have taken care of their children, stepped up to their responsibilities, who've held it down even during the pandemic, even during rough times, even when things have not been ideal, we want to say happy Father's Day to all of you. And we hope that you get treated right on Sunday.
I want my crab and rice.
Right, yeah. I'll take, I mean, you know, I'm not crazy about crab and rice, but I'll take it. You know what I mean? But, yeah, give them the crab and rice and also a gift. People, we like things too. You know what I'm saying? All right. Any final words, Mr.
Well, Johnson? I'd like to extend happy Father's Day to all the fathers at the Union of Tertiary Educators of the Bahamas and all the fathers of the NCTUB. And in fact, the working fathers throughout the nation wish you a good and safe and healthy Father's Day. And may God bless our nation.
All happy right. Father's Day, everybody.
Excellent. All right. Where's my producer? I guess we can't end the show. All right. You have any further comment about what's happening with you?
Yes, I would say that, piggybacking on what our brother Carlos said, that organizations, managers, and business owners must simply learn to respect the workers and recognize that workers is a critical part of their resource development. The human capital is a very critical component, and that workers are an important part of nation building. If the government protects its middle class, protects its workers, then recovery becomes easy and economic development trickles and impacts the normal man on the street.
Amen, amen. Yeah, man, let's get together. Let's hash these things out. There's nothing too hard that cannot be hashed out. And respect each other, work together, and let's build our nation, man. Let's build a better Bahamas with reliable, sustainable energy supply for the Bahamian people.
All right. Well, I'm going to read a couple more texts because my producer is still not there, which is exceedingly strange. But let's do this. It says, Juan, when we remember that the title honorable is attached to the office and not the characters, then we will keep our blood pressure in check when they fall short. Yeah, and I'll say to this, to the members of the House of Assembly, just respect the office, all right? Respect the office. If you don't respect us, right? If you don't have any regard for us, at the very least, let's respect the office, all right? Okay, well, I got to get out of here because I got an appointment if the producer's not going to come. So you're probably going to hear a dead ear, which is completely unprofessional. But you can let Dwight Strawn address it at the next opportunity that you have. You guys take care out there and have a great day, Bahamas.